As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Supposed to earn it, or what to do with it, or how to keep it. You're a freak with a dark, shameful secret. But you're not the only one. Get your hidden financial fears with a blast of sun. Now your healing has begun. It's Bad with Money with Gabe S. Dunn.
Hello, and welcome to Bad with Money Mailbag episode. I'm your host, Gabe Shane Dunn. Welcome, welcome. This is the episode where we listen to your voice memos, read your emails, read your comments, look at the news. Happy Friday, everyone. I am here to talk about a few things to do with budgeting. And then also there's some real fun stuff in the news that we're going to get to. I am, as you guys know, we talk about money here, but we don't make it scary. And I have been toying with different budgeting ideas, thinking about doing the envelope budget. There's a couple ways to do the envelope budget. One is to save money in different pockets, and the other is to literally just carry cash with you. So some of the envelopes is like making envelopes and then putting cash in them and then figuring that out budget-wise. The other is to put all your money for the day, cash in an envelope, and use that to pay. So a friend of mine has been doing the envelope budget with the second one. And I've been tempted to do it. I've been thinking about it. Operating in cash, maybe better for me. I've also like cut up some of my credit cards and I'm just using one now and the rest are automated, but I don't have cards for them. That's actually been incredibly helpful, I think, for me in terms of seeing money as just what I can spend tangibly and then the rest being used for other stuff or not getting into debt or, you know, thinking through my purchases more. That I'm not going to do it forever, but that's just where I'm at right now. Because for a couple reasons. One, I'm financing and fundraising for my debut feature film. All that money goes in another account. So I've become hyper aware of like the numbers in that account. So I'm not touching any of that. Obviously, that's part of the company for the movie. I don't have access to that like for my own personal use. So all of that money is going in to finance the movie, which is a project that I'm really passionate about and love. And if you want to help, there's going to be a link to a tax deductible ability to donate to the movie in the description for this episode. But so for my own personal spending now, I'm looking at everything a bit more with like an eye to every dollar. And I have been thinking about going cash. And I've also been thinking about different budgeting apps. I've been like trying out and looking at different budgeting apps. So let's read an email about the envelope budgeting system from Wyatt. Hey, longtime listener, and tell everyone I know to listen to the pod, because this podcast is quite literally why I financially survived my dad's death and even have a retirement account of any kind. This podcast has also really helped when I blew up my life last year for good and just needed hope. Oh, Wyatt, thank you. So I have super bad ADHD and self-diagnosed autism, so this is longer than wanted. I'm obsessed with budgeting, but also have huge money problems with executive function, lacking awareness to understand spending X will impact Y, constantly have credit debt, and more. Envelope method has ensured all my bills get paid. Somehow I never miss a bill, lowered my debt, and always have at least $100 to $200 in savings, even when I have nothing else. I've envelope budgeted off and on most of my adult life, 10-ish years. I think I learned it through the Dave Ramsey workbook, and then it's an eye roll emoji. My high school made us do it at the end of our senior year. My budget breakdown is bills into savings into second savings, needs and fun into savings and transferred weekly out, and then checking is to move and transfer out money. I basically keep my checking as low as possible. I itemized my cash budget, food, gas, dog care, etc., for a long time, and I've never done it daily, usually weekly or bi-weekly. Early on, I used a tiny labeled accordion folder. So if I ran out of going out funds, but have excess assigned to home toiletries, I would have to consciously move it. Challenges I've had. Cashless businesses. Yeah, those are becoming increasingly popular. I don't really know what to do about that. Carrying huge amount of cash when traveling. Dear God. People preferring Venmo over cash for payback. Always having to slit checks. Honestly, stand by that now instead of covering bills. Slit checks? What does that mean? Or split checks? Honestly, stand by that now instead of covering bills. I don't know what that is. Well, write in. Let me know. It works less the overall less money you have. Not having a normal wallet can be cumbersome. And generally, people don't question when you run out of money. But trust me, some will and won't be kind. I've tried unlabeled cash budget, aka chunk of cash in my wallet. Thumbs down. Bad idea. And doing a cash budget in my checking account. Thumbs down, X, very bad idea. I've never overdrafted my account so much. Right now, I give myself a weekly allowance and send it to my Cash App. I got the card and it solved a lot of my tech issues. Plus, I get an email and app notification for every time I spend money, prayer hands emoji, which helps my brain know money is spent. I have a widget that always tells me the balance, so I tend to be more thoughtful than trying to stare at my handful of cash, and it still functions well if I have $20 or $150 for the week. I also highly suggest chore/errand days for budgeting. I pick 1 to 2 days a week where I plan to do things like groceries, life supplies, gas, so it takes quickly out of my weekly allowance, then I know what's left. So that's the long version. Generally, do it. Pick and personalize an approach your brain sees as interesting and will engage with. It has actually saved my ass 10,000 times over to budget like this. They, them, Wyatt. Hey, thanks, Wyatt. Yeah, that's interesting to me. The Cash App card, I keep getting promotions for it, and I'm wondering if it might be a better idea for me to do. Because then you're not overdrafting a checking fee. You're just, probably Cash App is just saying, no, you're not allowed to do this. I don't know. I am curious, yeah, about what cards to use. I think I very much... The Cash App thing is interesting to me. I think I very much would benefit from that. That might be something that would be good to do. And cash would make it hard to figure out your, like, I use my statements a lot to figure out where money went or what I spent it on. So having actually like the Venmo statements and the Cash App statements is actually really helpful for me. And maybe separating that from the bank is a good idea. I don't know. I'm open to a ton of suggestions. I'm really like trying to redo a lot of stuff and trying to move away from paying things with credit cards and then paying the credit cards back, but rather paying for things I know I can afford at the moment with a budget. So any budget apps that you recommend, I'm open to trying them and learning them. I'm doing a free trial of one right now. I don't think I should say which one because I don't know what the ads are on this show, but I'm trying one right now, free trial. And I'll let you know how it goes. Maybe I'll just say how budgeting apps in general are going, if that makes a difference. The Cash App thing is very interesting to me. So yeah, thank you. I think the Cash App thing makes sense to me in terms of doing the envelope budget with Venmo or Cash App. in order to not overdraft a bank, but to still have the option. Very curious. Great idea. Thank you. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employees agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring in one place so easy. Like, think about how much you have to do in order to hire someone and how much you have to gather, plus scheduling, plus messaging. Like, if I was looking to hire someone, I would feel that it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish that I could use Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/badwithmoney. Just go to Indeed.com/badwithmoney right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/badwithmoney. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. I have been using Mint to manage my finances, but bad news. Mint has shut down, but here's the good news. There's a better alternative, Monarch Money. That's right. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarch.com/badmoney. It is very stressful, confusing, and time-consuming to manage my finances. I try all the apps, as you guys know, and I've just been like flighty with them. They've never stuck. But now I have Monarch, and it is easy to use. It has powerful features like collaboration tools, intuitive design, personalization, product improvements. It's just been really helpful to see everything laid out and especially be able to collaborate if I want to. Did you know that money issues are a leading cause of divorce? Yeah, we've talked about that a lot here. Monarch, the top-rated personal finance app, also has built-in collaboration features so you can invite your partner at no extra cost. Together, you can see all your finances, collaborate on your budget, and get insights on your cash flow and recurring transactions. It's the easiest way to manage your household finances. Are you saving for a down payment, a wedding, a dream vacation? Monarch makes it so easy to help you reach your financial goals. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Of course, I've been frustrated in the past with personal finance apps that are cluttered with ads. So was Monarch. So they built a new kind of personal finance app that's intuitive, powerful, ad-free, and constantly improving based on customer feedback. Experience a personal finance app that prioritizes the user experience above all else. We never sell your data to third parties or show you ads. After trying out Monarch myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/badmoney. That's monarchmoney.com/badmoney for your extended 30-day free trial. Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. I don't know if you know, but I'm a business myself. And I have to run everything on my own. And it is very difficult, especially to deliver you a product such as this podcast. Luckily, I have Melissa to help me. And we want to keep all the money that we make. So how do we do that? NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math, see how you'll profit from NetSuite. Everything is so expensive. How do I boost performance? How do I pay everyone? How do I cut costs? Here you go. You want inventory? You want financial systems in the cloud? You got it, baby. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/badwithmoney. 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 Okay, this is a message on the Discord, and we're going to get into this because I just started watching this wild courtroom testimony that's going on, which I'll explain in a second. But this message says, so Gabe mentioned the envelope method on the latest show, and I just happened to be watching a YouTube video of a court hearing where the witness mentions that it's best to have cash on you because you can more effectively haggle, especially while on a trip in another country. I can't imagine haggling, which is one of the reasons I'm bad with money. My personal cash scenario is to go into the bank and ask the teller for 101s, 105s, and 120s. Then I use that so I can pay in exact amounts over the purchase, and I tell them to keep the coins. I don't do this to save money, which also makes me bad with money. I started doing this during the pandemic because of germs, and so I would spend less time at cash at checkout. I also do think that in my mind, I spend less money when I feel the pocket bulge of cash get slimmer. Yeah, I agree with that. Hearing that this person is talking about is DA Fannie Willis testified she paid cash during trips with top prosecutor. One winery host remembers her paying in paper bills. So this is on CNN. So basically, Fannie Willis is the Fulton County District Attorney in Georgia, and she is being questioned in court because she was the top prosecutor in the Georgia election subversion case against Donald Trump. And they're coming for her because she had an affair, I guess, or was dating Nathan Wade, who I guess was another prosecutor. There seems to be some sort of thing about it being unethical. But this testimony has been very interesting because obviously, like, you know, courtroom testimony can be a real circus. And I guess she... I guess she used cash a lot. Her testimony about why she uses cash has been pretty interesting. So the idea is that Trump has said that she had a conflict of interest with a fellow prosecutor because they were having a romantic relationship. But she says the relationship never involved direct or indirect financial benefit. So that's what they're trying to prove. And I watched the clip and she talks about how her dad always taught her to operate in cash. She always used cash. She uses cash, especially when she's traveling. And I guess they were in wine country and she paid for like bottles of wine with cash. And their thing is saying that she dealt in cash because she was trying not to get caught or get, you know, have any paper trail on where she was going or with who. But she gives this testimony where she says she usually carries about $9,000 in cash or has about $10,000, $9,000 in cash in her home at any given time because her dad taught her that it was safer to have cash. And then in her testimony, she says that when she testifies to how much she actually has in cash, her dad is going to feel embarrassed of her because it should be more. It's a very interesting conversation. It's leading to people getting into a lot of debates on what, you know, what is an appropriate, I don't know, what is an appropriate use of cash? Do they use cash? Are people only using cash when they have these high paying jobs because they're trying to hide something? There's also this quote that's going around because I guess she was saying she doesn't like wine because she bought these bottles of wine and she's saying she bought them like she doesn't like wine. She likes Grey Goose, which is so funny. People are also saying that she's walking herself straight into an audit by the IRS. Them trying to find if she, you know, gave any financial benefit to this other prosecutor. It's like coming down to like, did she buy him some bottles of wine or whatever? I don't really know what to make of this because it just seems like a clown show. So as does anything to do with Trump. So it's kind of like, you know, her preference for cash is why there's no paper trail documenting these payments and that it's not anything nefarious. It's just that she prefers cash. I don't know. When I travel, I always pay with cash. Okay. So I want to hear from you guys. GabeIsBadWithMoney@gmail.com. Do you pay with cash when you travel? Is that a thing that people do? Do you prefer to pay with cash when you travel? for haggling reasons, which, by the way, the person who wrote in on the Discord, I love to haggle. Shocking no one. I love haggling. Some people find it very socially awkward. Some places it's expected and almost like part of the culture, sort of considered silly if you don't. So I love it. I think it's fun. Other people don't. So yeah, let me know if you operate in cash when you travel. I'm very curious. Okay, another thing that has come up is someone sent in the Discord this flow chart from Reddit's Our Personal Finance. And it's a personal income spending flow chart. And they said, this will help you with everything. So I was like, how could this, this is like a JPEG, I don't, a PNG. I was like, I don't understand how this could, you know, be comprehensive in any way. So I looked at it and I'll put a link to it in the description. But the phases of this flow chart are, and I'll try to explain it. Step zero, budget and reduce your expenses, set realistic goals. Step one, build an emergency fund. These are pretty obvious. I think people talk about this a lot. Sometimes there's a switch from like build an emergency fund and then set your goals after that, because the emergency fund should be number one, or that you can budget once you have a certain amount of money saved, like you just save everything and then go for a budget. I can see both sides. Step two, employer-sponsored matching funds. So get your 401k match, huge. Step three, pay down high, moderate interest debts. I agree with this. I think for your debts, don't necessarily look at what the biggest debt is, student loans, credit. Look at what has the highest interest rate. The interest rate is what's important. That's my thought. That's what I think. Interest rate is will tell you what to pay off first, even if it's the lowest number. Step four, savings for retirement in an IRA and higher education expenses. So that makes sense. I think I would maybe put step three before step two to pay down your debts before you do employer matching. And then all your retirement stuff can go in one step, but I don't know. Step five, save more for retirement. Okay. Tax advantage. That makes sense. Step six, save for other goals and advanced methods. So these are the top six steps. I agree with these. The order I maybe would switch around a little bit, but this came up because someone in the Discord asked, what do you do if you get a windfall? What do you do if you get a bunch of money at once and you've never had that before? And we had done an episode for Bad with Money about the lottery and about winning money on a game show. So you can go and listen to that episode. We do talk about like the idea of winning money all at once and what happens. So then this flow chart, so that's how this got recommended. And then the more reasonable use for this is that someone was talking about getting their tax refund. So if you get a refund from your taxes, what do you spend it on? What do you do? What do you use it for? And so the person who was giving advice sent this flow chart for someone who obviously they didn't win the lottery or win a game show, but they had the more likely situation of getting a bunch of money you didn't expect from a tax refund. So this flow chart goes on to say, when you get this now, you create a budget. So you know where your money is going and you know a P&L, which is a profit and loss. So a P&L statement is you take all the money that you profited, obviously, and you take all the money that you spent and you get the number that is your actual money that you have that came in. And you see, you know, the money that you spent is higher than the money that you made. Very obvious way to see that. First step, pay your rent. Obviously, that's the first step of any budget. Buy your food, obviously. For me right now, I have EBT because of the strikes that happened in both my industries, both SAG and WGA strike happened this past year. So I qualified for that, which has been extremely helpful. If you have the opportunity, do not feel any shame about it. Do not hesitate. Do not feel like you don't deserve it. It's there for you. Pay your essential items. Of course, power, water. Pay income earning expenses. So that's internet, phone, anything that you use to earn income. And some of that can be tax write-offs. You check and see what can be a tax write-off. Pay healthcare, health insurance, healthcare expenses. I would here recommend an HSA, a health savings account. It's a tax advantaged account and you can use it for medical expenses and anyone can use it and it rolls over. So an FSA, flexible savings account, you have to use that year, but an HSA rolls over. And the thing about an HSA is that since it rolls over, you can use it, even if you're not sick, you can use it when you get older because there will be more health expenses. Next thing, make minimum payments on all debts. I would say yes to that. I've even set up an automated system where it pays the minimum payment always so that, and if I want to pay more, I can, but so that I'm not paying interest. Once again, circle back to interest. Interest is not your friend in terms of debts. It's only your friend in investing. Next step, build a small emergency fund, $1,000 for 1 month's worth of expenses or whichever is greater. Okay, for a small emergency fund, I would recommend a high yield savings account. The one I have is through Marcus Goldman Sachs. Get a high yield savings account. Make sure that it is actually worth it to do because sometimes it's like, oh, I have a five, you know, they're telling you have a 5% per year growth, but like, does that, you know, because 4 or 5% is amazing. That's the high yield. But if you're going to have to be taking that money out all the time, you're not really going to get the benefit of that. Pay any non-essential bills in full. Here it lists internet and phone. I would argue those are essential. Next, you ask yourself, does your employer offer a retirement account with employer match? Yes. Contribute, get the match. They say here, nothing above that amount. Okay, depends. Do you have high interest debt? Then they recommend evaluate the merits of the avalanche and snowball methods and their advantages to your personal, financial, and psychological situation. So we've talked about that on this show. The avalanche method is what I stick by. This is what I recommend. It prioritizes your interest rates. So you pay off the debt with the highest interest rate first, then you move on to the next interest rate, and over time you pay less interest. My advice is debt avalanche. I'm not an expert. I don't know anything. Like, I'm not like, don't follow me like Dave Ramsey. Don't follow me like some sort of oracle. I'm just telling you what I do. Debt snowball is you prioritize the balances and you pay off the smallest debt first, moving on. And for snowball, since you're seeing the debts go away faster because you're doing the smaller ones to the bigger ones, it psychologically tells you you're doing more. I don't know. I think interest is your worst enemy. So then it goes on to talk about going into your Roth versus traditional IRAs. Are you expecting any large purchases? Then after that, it says, are you currently saving at least 15%? Does your employer offer, you know, a retirement plan that you could put money into? Is it possible as a self-employed person, should you do a 401k, SEP, IRA, et cetera, et cetera? We've talked about these in the past. I'm currently trying to figure out if I want to do keep my SEP or do a solo 401k. The past mailbag, I talked about it more in depth. So if you want to hear that, go back there. Do you have a high deductible health plan or are you eligible for an investable HSA, which I just talked about, health savings account? Check that out. Check out the max yearly contributions. Do you have children? Do you want to do a 529 plan for them, which we have an episode about 529 plans called The Gift of College, if you want to go listen to that. We've really covered a lot of this on Bad with Money. At this point, you can figure out if you want to retire early and you max out your 401k, 403b, other account, and then look into other taxable accounts. Or do you have more immediate goals like buying a house or, I don't know, vacation, whatever it is you want? You can then, instead of retiring early and putting your money all in retirement, you can save that money for goals, you know, save that money or invest that money for goals that are more like 3 to 5 years away in like an individual brokerage account. A lot of this we have covered on the show. I'll put the link in the description so you can also look at the flowchart itself. But I do think it's really helpful. And I guess it came from our personal finance. Hey guys, Gabe Dunn here. I just wanted to let you guys know that I have a Patreon at patreon.com/GabeSDunn. And on that Patreon, I'm going to start doing live hangs with everyone who is a patron. So if you want to join the Patreon, you can get all these episodes ad-free, videos of our mailbag episodes, extra writing from me, blogs, fiction, other stuff, things that I'm thinking about with regards to money and personal stories, and also now live hangs with me on Zoom once a month. So join the Patreon. And if you're not a member of the Discord, hop on over to the Discord. That's free. The link will be in the description. It's so fun. So many of you guys talk over there. It's like truly popping off. And if you're on the Discord, I would love to see you in the live hang so I get to put a face to a name. So yeah, please join patreon.com/GabeSDunn and come hang out with me. Oh my gosh. Budgeting is wild. I am trying to make progress every day. I am, as you guys know, like deeply into rebuilding my finances. It is very hard to keep motivated, but I am constantly looking at the numbers, constantly like looking at ways to cut stuff. And I'm looking for new ways to save. And when I do, I can find my financial goals easier and still have the occasional treat. With a Chime checking account, you get features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe, or get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. Learn more at chime.com/badmoney. I have constantly had to deal with overdraft fees my entire life. When I first learned what they were upon getting my first bank account, it was a very rude awakening. I also learned about something when I was writing my book, where a lot of banks take out money from your account in the order that makes you have overdraft fees, which is so unfair. But Chime allows you an overdraft of up to $200 with no fees. Join millions of Chime members who are working on financial progress. Chime helps you make progress with fee-free overdraft up to $200. Your next deposit is applied to your balance. Get spotted on debit card purchases and cash withdrawals. No monthly fees or maintenance fees. Over 60,000 fee-free ATMs. To date, Chime has spotted members over $20 billion. Friends give friends a boost. Eligible members get complimentary boosts to increase a friend's SpotMe limit. When you give a boost, they can boost you back to raise your limit. Set up direct deposit into your Chime account. After a qualifying direct deposit of $200 or more, Chime will notify you to enroll in SpotMe. With an activated debit card, Chime will spot you up to your limit when you exceed your balance. Your next direct deposit is applied to your negative balance. Chime never charges fees or interest for using SpotMe. Take more control of your finances and say goodbye to monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/badmoney. That's chime.com/badmoney. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A., members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
If you guys are watching on Patreon, you can see me, because on Patreon we do video, patreon.com/GabeSDunn. And you'll notice that in the beginning of the video, Beans was not here. And now Beans is here. This is my dog. He likes to sit on my lap. He wasn't here. And then he started barking. And then I rewarded his bad behavior, because that's what we do here on Bad With Money. Okay, so let's talk about some articles that my beautiful producer, Melissa, put together for me. So as you guys know, I am fundraising for an LGBTQ film. I'm fundraising for my debut feature. It is called You and I, You and Me. You can follow it at You and I, You and Me Film on Instagram. You can also go to youandiyouandmefilm.com to look at ways you can donate and help, tax deductible. And the thing about raising money for a movie is that it is really wild. It costs so much more than you would think. Our movie's low budget, and I'm not taking any money. And then I wrote it to be doable in a way that prioritizes compensating people for their labor and making a great product without, you know, using drones or paying myself an exorbitant amount of money or whatever it is. I'm a really good writer in the sense that I write things that can be done realistically and within a budget that are also good. Like that's one of my big strengths. I write screenplays that are very good, and I also write screenplays that are very producible. So you're never going to see a tsunami in one of my movies. Let's just say that. So I went to Sundance And at Sundance, one of the big buzzy movies at the festival, film festival, was Kristen Stewart's movie called Love Lies Bleeding. And she started this conversation about film financing that was very interesting because her film is a very, very gay movie. So she said she is not going to make another movie until she can make her movie. So she's not going to ever work for someone else. She's not going to star in another movie. She's not going to be in another movie until she can make her feature directorial debut, The Chronology of Water, which she is looking for financing for. It's an indie movie. I don't know how, you know, I don't know how she's not finding fundraising. I don't know what her own deal is. I don't know what, you know, budget is for her movie. But she has said, I will quit the fucking business. I won't make a fucking another movie until I make this movie. And I think that will get things going. Very interesting. Extremely interesting. People thought that that was like, why doesn't she just fundraise it herself? I don't understand. And I'm not, you know, in her mind, but I can see where there are problems getting money for queer films. You know, she would know better than anyone, I think, about how queerness affects your career in Hollywood. And so, yeah, I mean, people have called it spoiled. People have called it like unrealistic and silly. But I, you know, somebody has to say it from a position of power. I don't have any power. No one would care if I never made another movie. She's also a very good actress. I know everyone is like using Twilight as a barometer, but she is a very good actress. And I didn't get to see Love Lies Bleeding, but it's gotten very, very good reviews. So I do want to go see it. And maybe I'll review it on this show. It has nothing to do with money, but I'll just do a 5-minute gay review. If you guys have more questions about film financing, I'm happy to answer it. I'll tell you what we're doing. We're gathering the money. We got a lot of money. Thank you so much, by the way, to everyone who donated to Seed and Spark for the movie. That was really, really incredible. I so appreciate it. Thank you to everyone who got their perks. Thank you to everyone who shared the link. Like, just everyone was so lovely. And thank you to everyone who's written in about the movie. We're going to go into production in the spring. Very exciting. And in terms of money, like, there's all these little things. We're applying to grants. That's a big one. There's film grants. We have like a grant writer working on those. There's like a lot of grants for like post-production. So like editing and sound once the movie is shot. If you know of any grants, or if you know of any art grants or any grants for LGBTQ people, write in and let me know. If you work for a company that has a grant or an organization that has a grant, I'd love to know more about it. And we're also looking for donors who want to be involved in movies and queer film. Who, if you know anyone or can think of anyone who's like, I would love to have a little piece of queer film. I would love to contribute. I would love to go to some red carpets. I don't know. Let's chat. Write into the show at gabeisbadwithmoney@gmail.com. You can also leave a voice memo there if you want. You can follow me at gabesdunn on Instagram, at bwmpod on Instagram, and at youandmefilm on Instagram. You can also go to youandmefilm.com. There's more information there. And either way, 2025, my debut feature film coming at you. It's very trans. And any thoughts or comments or concerns or questions you have about any of this, let me know, especially movie stuff. I love movies. I would love to talk about movies. I think we're going to do our Saltburn episode. So very exciting. And there's a bunch of other Oscars movies that I would love to talk about. Maybe I'll do an Anatomy of a Fall. I don't know. What Oscars movies do you think talk about money that I should talk about? Melissa and I were briefly talking about American Fiction, which doesn't really have to do with money, but it does have to do with a lot of themes surrounding it. So let me know, what Oscars movie do you think I should use to talk about money? Okay. Love you guys. Bye. Bad with Money with Gabe Shane Dunn is a production of Noted Bisexual, produced by Melissa D. Montz and Diamond M. Print Productions, edited by Diane King, post-production sound by Coco Lorenz, and music by Mike Kaplan, Zach Sherwin, and Jack Dolgen, as sung by Sam Barbera. Thank you. Love you. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.